Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, who shines in glory, clothes us in compassion, and bears gifts of mercy for all. Let us confess our sins with confidence in God's promise of forgiveness. God, wonderful counselor. God's loving kindness has appeared to us in Christ our Savior. We are saved, not by anything we have done, but by God's mercy poured out on us richly. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Through the Spirit living in you, God give you faith to trust Jesus, who is love born for you, now and always. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you, and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord. And my God has become my strength," he says. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. I waited patiently upon the Lord, who stooped to me and heard my cry. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord. Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count. And so I said, "Here I am, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, you know. You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your steadfast love and your truth continually keep me safe. A reading now from 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. An occurrence that I would encounter different places throughout my life. I remember seeing it in New York, Las Vegas, even outside Nationwide Arena in Columbus. Were people shouting in a public area on why everyone needs to turn to Jesus or else. This might be what some associate when they hear the word evangelize. And some of you have had those similar experiences. You've seen people do this, right? It's certainly what I would associate with the word proselytize. And I've always been curious about what their quote-unquote success rate is. Because I see a vast majority of people ignoring them. And even if they're walking by them and those proselytizing happen to be handing something out, it might be politely taken, but if you canvass the area, you'll see those pamphlets on the street or in a trash can not far from their location. Their announcement of Jesus tends to be loud, aggressive, and full of fear. Really, the difference between announcing a threat or a promise is the reason to believe grounded in fear. Fear with the threat of death, the threat of punishment, or is in response to a God who is gracious and merciful. What we say about our God matters, and how we point to our God matters. In our gospel lesson, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, the good news in that is Jesus is doing it, according to John the Baptist. It's not contingent upon what any of us are doing. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, period. In fact, Jesus rebukes anyone in the Gospels for getting in the way. When they try to get in Jesus' way, ultimately by crucifying him to get him out of the way,
He uses the cross to take away the sin of the world. And even John the Baptist calling Jesus the Lamb of God is saying something about the identity of Jesus. Because the Lamb of God contrasts with earlier biblical images of the Messiah, which is one of royal majesty. What does a lamb imply? Doesn't imply strength, does it? It's weakness. And what would they associate the lamb with? A Passover lamb. Not powerful, but sacrificial. And we know that people in Jesus' day had issues with that kind of image for Messiah. Quite frankly, there are Christians today that have issues with that image for Messiah, that of a lamb. In our brokenness, we want a warrior that can dominate the world. But that's not what we get with Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We get a sacrificial lamb in Jesus, and to the world, that seems like a weak and powerless God. But John the Baptist offers a witness about Jesus that points to hope for the world and the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, is that what we think about when we hear words like witness and evangelism? Because personally, I think of those awkward and uncomfortable encounters with people that can sadly be filled with judgment and hate in the name of love. In the name of Jesus. But we are called to bear witness to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And we're called to share how this God has intersected with our story and how we are part of God's story of salvation. And like John the Baptist, we tell others how we see the God of love present in our lives and in the world. Because our Lord invites us to come and see. This is a journey, a relationship that our God invites us into. And early Christians would bring their loved ones to meet the Messiah. I love what Andrew says to his brother Peter. We have found the Messiah. Can sense the joy in his voice. The joy and excitement in that invitation that he wants to share something that has brought him some sense of fulfillment and excitement, and that he wants to share that with his brother. Now, I will say, too, that people here found, and Jesus doesn't get lost, right? We're the ones that get lost, right? The reason they even bump into him is, especially you go to John's gospel, is because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In our lives, we will bump into the one who comes to us. And it may seem like we found him, but he always finds us. But that invitation was out of joy and excitement, not out of fear. You don't see any fear here. There is no mention of hell, no mention of damnation, but joy in having the Messiah revealed to them and wanting to abide with them. Now, I have come to, it's a steep learning curve as a parent, but when you share something and anything as a parent, when I ask my children to do something out of obligation, you would be surprised how not excited they are to do it, right? If I share anything or invite them to do something out of obligation, they don't want to do it. And that should be a lesson to us. Not communicating the things in our life that bring us joy. Or when it comes to Jesus, if we're not sharing the joy of what Jesus and a relationship with Christ does for us, and instead communicate obligation to church stuff, that might get people to commit for a time, but not grounded in a joyful witness. Some never understand what all the fuss is about. I don't blame them. Sure, a wedding might take place in a church building. Baby might be baptized, but if it is done to make us happy and it's not an invitation in sharing why a relationship with the living God and the promise of God that we have in the sacraments is transformational and makes all the difference in our lives, then we miss an opportunity. And in those instances, we're not pointing to an angry God like those on the street corners, but we're not also not pointing to Jesus. We're pointing to ourselves. Worship centered in word and sacrament is the source and summit of Christian life. We see elements of that in our gospel lesson today. Hints of baptism. Peter is transformed. The Lamb of God points to death and resurrection. Our gospel lesson describes in many ways aspects of our worship, our liturgy that's centered in word and sacrament. That when we gather here, what are we pointing to? Who are we pointing to around these means of grace? And when John the Baptist speaks of baptism, when we are baptized, we are joined to the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in holy baptism, we receive a new identity and name. When we gather for worship around word and sacrament, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is present with us. We gather to hear God's promises. We gather to hear God's story in the Word and then receive that promise, knowing that we are incorporated into God's story in the Word and in the sacraments. That is our witness. That is how we evangelize, with joy and love. God has done all these things for us. We can share with joy and love. God is doing all these things for us. We can share with joy and love, not with fear, threats, or guilt. One of my favorite jokes about Lutherans is that we feel guilty for not feeling guilty. So guilt isn't going to work anyway. We certainly encourage people. We certainly support them wherever they are in life's journey. But our witness and invitation must be grounded in that joy and excitement that we are experiencing with the living God in the church and in the world. To come and see God's divine love present here and pouring out in our community. We certainly want to be Christ-like, but we must understand that our role as ministers of the gospel is to be like John the Baptist and Andrew and simply point to Jesus. Point to where we see the God of love in our life and in the world, because we know that Jesus promises to be present in a particular way when we gather here for worship around word and sacrament. This isn't something you've heard me say many times. It's not a have to. It's what we get to do. It's what we get to experience, what we get to receive, what we get to be reminded of each time we gather here together as church. And we bring all that we have going on in our lives here. All of it. Our joy, our sorrow, our grief and our pain, the things we want to celebrate, the things we lament, we bring that all here. And when we hear how the Word of God intersects with what is going on in our lives today, we walk away knowing that God has spoken to us. And when we receive Christ in Holy Communion, we walk away knowing that we have been fed and nourished and are sent into the world not to keep this to ourselves, but to share what has been revealed to you with others in word and deed. So we do not preach fear at street corners, but we share the love of Jesus in our relationships. Because it's not about sharing just information about Jesus. It's about inviting people into a relationship with Jesus. So may our story, joined to God's story of salvation, always point to the good news of the Lamb of God, who is here among us and takes away the sin of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Put a new song in the mouth of your church. Inspire the baptized to tell of your faithfulness, sharing the good news of your salvation throughout the earth. Bless the witness of missionaries. And we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Merciful God. The waters of baptism call us into life in the Spirit. Preserve the world's waters. Protect them from pollution. Support plants and animals who depend on them. And bring rain in places of drought. Guide us in protecting local waterways and in responding to devastating floods. Merciful God. In Jesus, you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Show your mercy to all nations. Direct leaders to do your will. Fill governing bodies with righteousness. Equip judges with discernment and compassion. Merciful God. You incline your ear to all who cry to you. Draw near to individuals and communities suffering violence, injustice, illness, or poverty. Hide them in the shadow of your hand and make us signs of your faithfulness to all in need. We pray especially for Justin, Tracy, Scott, and Connie, Donna, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Lucas, John, Cindy, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God. You are glorified in the servants you have called. With Martin Luther King Jr., give us bold trust in you. Even when it feels like a sharp sword or polished arrow, give us courage to receive your call to repentance and racial justice. Merciful God. In every place and time, you have sanctified your people. We praise you for the testimony of those who have died in the faith. Strengthen us as we wait for the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Merciful God.
We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, where all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anyone participating in Children's Church, helping with the distribution of the sacrament. Distribution of Holy Communion will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, they'll be on the pulpit side. An usher will have a tray of trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.